America, and to all of our listeners around the world, you're listening to yet another excitingly Nazi-punching episode of Let's Weekend. Ooh. I, of course, am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, the most with the most Nazi punches, that is. Hmm. And joining me, as always, is Filippo Ninalfo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Sologi. Say hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Ew.
Hello.
All right. So, yes, so Nazi punching was had this week. and you would know about it if you were looking at Facebook at
any
point.
Oh, yeah. Does my heart good to see those stories, I tell you. And the pictures along with them.
Yep. And, of course, it also helps that, you know, a certain Nazi murdering simulator comes out next week.
Yeah, it's gonna. I think it's gonna do a lot of good, I would say.
Oh yeah. Hmm.
It's ticking all the right boxes.
Oh yeah. Hmm. But other than that, we've got some political shenanigans. A famous literary classic was pulled from a certain school district's reading list. And of course, the fallout from the Harvey Weinstein scandal is still going on and expanding and could possibly engulf all of Hollywood. Giant robots fought.
Yes.
It did. Actually happened.
Yep.
And it was neat. And of course, we've also got some trailers and some other entertainment news to go along with that. Wind farming. Apparently one is now floating and is operating in Scotland.
Nice.
So we'll be talking about that.
Yeah.
And apparently fajitas are serious fucking business, at least in Texas. But all that and more we're going to have right here on Let's Weekend. So, start us off. Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So, gaming-wise, it's still been Forza 7, despite the loot boxes that irritate the shit out of me, I'm still enjoying the game enough to keep playing it, so, yeah, I'm still playing it, and will still be reviewing it after living with it for a good couple of weeks.
Is it still doing all right on Windows?
It's better now.
Okay.
Yeah. They did a patch, I think, about a week ago, and since then I haven't had any crashies, so that's been good, because usually, you know, I got them every so often. Now I don't get it on Windows, I don't get it on the Xbox One either, so they seem to have fixed whatever was broken there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, good stuff there, and definitely worth playing, so yeah. Apart from that, well, I've been watching some TV and some movies, going through the whole Mythbusters run as usual. I'm about three quarters of the way through 2010 at this point, so, yeah, making my way through those. Those are fun, and so, yeah, it's at the point where they just started to get a bigger budget, so, yeah, they're starting to do more stuff that was a little bit more elaborate than they had done in the past, so it's kind of fun. Other than that, let's see, Mr. Robot, I'm all caught up on that. Still great. I don't know if you've been watching or not, Teresa, but yeah.
No, I did stop at season 1, episode 2. I am waiting to see if Scott could catch up.
With all two episodes that you've watched?
With all two episodes. I know, I would love to binge that thing, like, right now. Don't put that over my laptop. Sorry. Kahlua on gaming laptop equals no.
Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, definitely getting much, much better. Season 2 was good, but it was a bit slow going. Season 3, they're not wasting any time. They're going straight into it. So, yeah, lots of good stuff happening there. I watched Dragon Slayer from 1981, which was a thing. Mm-hmm. It's not a great movie, but it's not terrible either. It's like one of those perfectly adequate movies that you could probably watch if you just turn your brain off and just make some popcorn. It's on the upside, at least for 1981, the dragon special effects were actually pretty well done, so it's got that going for it. Yeah, so that's been the entertainment side of it. The not-so-entertainment side of it was the Windows 10 Fall Creators Update that came out this week. Boy, that was a bit of a bitch to get installed.
Ooh.
Yeah, first of all, if you have a Razer laptop, do not. Don't. Just don't.
Okay, noted. Yeah. Really noted.
Yeah. Because, yeah, Razer driver's not ready for it yet. It will not be happy. When you actually get the prompt for Windows Update, then you, that is probably safe. But for now, just hold off.
Okay.
In my case, I'm just on a regular, you know, self-built desktop PC. And I didn't get that prompt. So like an idiot, I went and downloaded the media creation tool. And did the update manually, and it failed. So it gave me some weird error and reverted back to the way it was.
At least didn't just outright lobotomize your computer.
Yeah, because that would have sucked. So I tried two or three different times. It did not work whatsoever. It just wouldn't do it. Then what I did was I made a USB key and ran the installation off of that, and that worked. But it didn't change.
Well, what do you know?
Yeah, but it didn't change anything else. Instead of doing the installation off my hard drive, I did it off the USB, and that was the only thing that I changed, and then it worked. So, but it's been good so far. I like it. It was a pain to get installed, but a lot of nice little changes that they've made. The OneDrive files on demand, those are nice because now you can see all the stuff you have there. So, yeah, good stuff. Good changes to the gaming stuff that they've got in there. Game mode is a little bit more usable now and actually like does something. So that's helpful. There's a bit of a new design language that's been implemented. So things, they call it acrylic. So you can kind of like see through stuff, and it's pretty. Yeah, it's nice. You know, for a free update that comes out every 6 or so months, it's not bad at all. If I had one of the mixed reality headsets, I could take advantage of that because that's in there too. But don't got one of those yet, so have to wait on that.
Someday.
Someday. I mean, you know, the mixed reality headset is like $400, so it's the same price as a Rift. So
shit.
Yeah. But it's actually better than the Rift. So go figure. Just shows how, you know, as technology moves on, prices come down and, you know, good stuff.
Yeah.
So that's been my intriguing week. How about you, Pat?
Not a whole lot. I've finally gotten back into Final Fantasy XIV to a degree. Played all the way up to the first dungeon in the new patch. So that's been fun. First explicit mention of a Final Fantasy XII locale in the world of Final Fantasy XIV. So that was cool. Basically a mention that recent events in the storyline inspired rebellion in the Imperial province of Dalmasca.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be interesting to see where it goes from there. But at the moment, it feels mostly like a filler arc after everything that went on in Stormblood. And I'm completely cool with that because Stormblood covered a lot of ground. Yeah, I'm just looking forward to getting in further and getting this dungeon done and see where it goes from there.
Did you do the seasonal quest with the werewolf shit that came out yesterday?
No.
It's all right.
I literally just started all the 4.1 stuff in El Amigo and the new story arc, and that's it.
Cool.
Played up to the entrance of the first dungeon and decided I didn't really have a dungeon in me that night. So
yeah,
save that for later. Mm-hmm. You ever just get that where, you know, I signed on, I wanted to play a bunch of this, but once it's time to get into the multiplayer content, I just can't commit to it tonight.
Yeah, except I did try, and we party wiped, and it was not a good scene, and I don't remember that fucking dungeon, but it was hell. Yeah. Sorry. Bad healer moment. Really, really bad healer moment.
I'm gonna guess Aurum Veil.
Yes, fucker. You knew it. Yeah. Yeah, that, no.
That is my least favorite dungeon in that entire game.
You wonder how I just knew that?
Yeah, I ran it once and only once on the other server, and clearly not as a mage. So I was DPS, and this is just, yeah. I'm going to have to get into the right mindset for that guy.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Fail. Just fuck that place in particular.
Yep. Yeah. Sideways.
All right. Well, Therese, what about you?
Final Fantasy 14 also. I have assembled all but 7 of the 222 yokai medals needed in order to get the Yokai Watch special weapons. And I will get those last 7. I will get them fucking tonight. Because I want that glowing Whisper of Go-Go mount, and I don't know why. It has consumed like a month's worth of my gaming.
Kinds of distractions are what make Final Fantasy 14 sometimes, though.
Yeah, you know, and it's great, because I'm at the very last thing. I know I'm in the home stretch, and, you know, everybody else is right there with me, and we're just running. Do you remember when we were doing Fates up in Outer Lenosia? You and I did this without there being a, you know, yokai weapon thing going on. Uh-huh. And we ran from one room to the next, just back mm-hmm. and forth, getting XP. I'm doing the same thing again. So, mm-hmm. and there's sometimes other people with me, and it's cool, and we're like, oh god, I can't believe we're grinding this, and, you know, it's camaraderie of some sort. Yep. But I've also been playing Pokemon Go, 6 of the Hoenn region Pokemon were released today, this afternoon, and I've got 3 of them, and I've evolved 2 of the 3. And I will probably find the other 3 before the weekend's up. And I was out doing gyms and shit anyway earlier this week, you know, while I was doing other stuff. So I've been trying to make sure my name is up there again. Going for level 40, but it's very slow going. And as far as other stuff, man, I have not been watching hardly anything because I've been playing fucking Final Fantasy. Uh-huh. So some shit, you know, just getting through Adventure Time and what else are we watching? Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You know, nice kind of mindless, but still, you know, enchanting story. So I like the interaction of the characters in that precinct and the shit that they get into. And of course, Terry Crews is there. So, you know, can't go wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it for me.
All right, Chris.
So I watched this thing on Netflix called American Vandal, which I didn't really know what to expect going into it, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, okay.
It's a show that is, I guess, kind of like Making a Murderer mm-hmm. sort of thing about this alleged crime that took place and sort of diving deep into all the different people involved and all that, except it is set around I think it's a Colorado high school where somebody spray painted dicks on 27 of the teacher's cars.
Nice.
And so there is the potential of a felony vandalism mm-hmm. charge, because it's about, they estimate $100,000 to get the cars all fixed up. And they go way deep into the analysis of the different people involved. A kid named Dylan is automatically sort of targeted in this whole investigation in the school, at least. Mainly because he has a well-known history of drawing dicks on the Spanish teacher's whiteboard.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly he did that every day for at least a year.
Yeah.
And so he is essentially presumed guilty thanks to one of the sort of brown-nosed kids' testimony of seeing him do it.
Yeah.
And so he is expelled. He's a senior, so pretty much his chance of going to college and all that is killed.
Mm-hmm.
And so these kids that – these two kids that work on the morning news show at the school have basically decided they're going to investigate this and see if he really did it. If not, who did it?
Mm.
Which is hilarious because they play it straight.
Yeah.
They do
like,
not.
This really like sounds like something you'd see like on – like it's almost like a mockumentary it sounds like.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
Except that it's apparently 100% true.
I don't think it's true.
I'm getting Spinal Tap vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think
it's...
it
to be true.
I want to see... There's one person in it that I know I've seen before in some other show.
Mm.
Or he's in a bunch of shows. He plays Dylan's stepfather, who obviously is kind of playing the... I'm trying to be cool to this kid, even though he's not at all.
Yeah.
And I think this is him. Yeah, Larry Joe Campbell. Let's see, what was he in? He's in The Orville, I guess, so something new. He's been in Key and Peele a few times. Here, I'll send you the IMDb link. You'll probably recognize him immediately. But
yeah, I've seen that dude before.
Yeah. It's pretty good. It goes some places and they break the fourth wall a bit, where these kids are actually making these episodes and putting them up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And so around like the fourth or fifth episode, it starts spreading into the school and all the other kids are watching it. And, as well as like Twitter, and there's a lot of parts of the show that are based around like Instagram videos and Twitter posts and things like that, where they're just showing the things that these kids are doing and where they're getting their evidence from and all that. And it's pretty well done. I think it's only 8 episodes. It's not terribly long. I ended up binge watching the whole thing. And yeah, it goes some places. And it has some pretty good messages near the end about some of the people that ended up not having anything to do with the end results of this little investigation series, and sort of getting pissed at the two kids that put this all together for essentially outing their secrets in this whole process, which gets some pretty good things you don't necessarily get out of these sort of shows.
Mm.
But yeah, it's something people should watch just for the absurdity of everything that's going on. And you will never see as much dissection of dick pictures, dick drawings as you, see in this show and anything else. Not even since, what was it? Superbad.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never see anything, analyzing dick pictures much like this. Yeah.
Well, what about Nintendo's research for Miiverse? Did you hear about that?
Oh, no. My God.
Yeah. They researched like all shapes and sizes for finding ways to auto-detect, drawings that they would probably want to block from Miiverse upon posting. And... they just couldn't get it right the entire time. after way more time than they probably should have spent on it, they realized they probably should have researched drawings.
Okay.
Yeah. They should have shared that research with Tyson Chicken or Culver's, because I ended up eating a dick today. That's what I had for lunch. It was hysterical.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Hard-hitting commentary you can only get on Let's Weekend.
Yeah, the most dick discussion on the internet right now.
Mm-hmm.
I also been watching more Mythbusters. I'm in season 3. And the only thing that is kind of annoying is how many clip shows they do at this point. A lot of stuff that is just based around, oh, here's all the times we beat the shit out of Buster. Or here's the best explosions and all that sort of stuff. It's like, okay, this would have been great. Like, as just like marathon fodder of like, hey, here's some quick hits.
Or like webisodes stuff. Or some shit, not putting it in to fill up time because that's lame. But they did that.
There are a couple of good ones that have actual new things in it. I forget which one specifically. There's one where they actually talk about a lot of the different places they go to buy their supplies and machines and such. That was pretty cool to see. Talking about like the vacuum cleaner shop where Adam fucks up his lip because he decides to stick his face next to the motor as it's running. And it just sucks in his lip. It just cuts it up. Like the place they go to get like tanks and some of these other places, that's pretty cool to see. But yeah, that show's obviously still great. And even still, like at this point, they're not anywhere close to smartphones. I think by the third season, I think it's still flip phones, which is just fun to see. Like, oh yeah, we had to deal with that. Like, oh, here's a cell phone myth, and they're trying to cause an explosion with a flip phone, which is interesting. Not really been playing too much of any one game this week. SteamWorld Dig 2 has been one that I've been putting the most time into. I have opened up a new set of mines to go into, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to actually get... There's this one part of the map outside of the mines where it's constantly blowing you back with a like just strong gusts of wind. So it's not until you get the grappling hook that you're able to actually stick to obstacles and wait for the wind to at least die down a bit before you can get across, and opens up a couple of new mines. Or it might be two different mines, but yeah, there's some new annoying enemies in here. There's these like insects, I think, that hang around, and they kind of light up when you get near and start flying towards you. And when you hit them, they go flying in whichever direction you send them, and then they explode. Hmm. If you get multiples crowding up, they will hit each other and just explode right there. So you kind of have to play around with their AI and get them separated. Otherwise, you can cause some bad damage to yourself. The other thing, I've reached the first actual other robots that are, I guess, cultists. And so they have these flaming spears that they throw. And so they see you, they'll just start throwing them, which will take out blocks if you're... hanging out above them or something like that. They'll start throwing stuff to try to destroy those blocks. If not, just keep throwing these spears at you that you have to dodge as you try to get to them. But that's still pretty good, and look forward to play some more of it. There just seems to be a lot to this game, more so than the original, which was kind of a one big mine, but it was split up into three sort of smaller sections. This one so far has a pretty huge map so far. But yeah, I'm looking forward to playing more of that. And I've been doing more YouTube stuff. I featured Happy Dungeons for the free to play game this week, which is a co-op focused dungeon crawler. There's some loot to it, but it's mainly about the co-op. It tries to match you into a group whenever it can. Though I was playing it this morning and nobody was on, I guess. It was not matching me with anybody when I made the video. But otherwise, it's neat. It doesn't look great. These are the same people that made Happy Wars. That was on Xbox 360, and I think it's on One and Windows 10. And it looks very low rent. The character models are pretty simple, and I've gotten stuttering in Happy Dungeons a bit if I'm doing anything online. But yeah, it's okay. It very much feels like a mobile kind of game, where it's all based around these very small mission areas, where it's like three or four areas where you just have waves of enemies come at you, you kill them, then you get a chest at the end that gives you some free loot and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Probably won't be going back to that, but the anniversary I celebrated this week was Shadow of the Colossus turning 12.
Yes, it did.
Which is a great game, and obviously sort of highlights the weird way that it took them nearly over 10 years to get their next game out.
Yeah.
Such a huge gap. And it was nice seeing some of the prototype footage of that game, where they were initially making an online co-op sort of game where you were able to get together with up to four people and try to take down Colossuses together.
Now that actually sounds like something that would still be pretty awesome.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's no team to make that.
Yeah.
At least of Team Eco. They're not really a thing anymore. But definitely, I think they could do that if they give it to Studio Japan and maybe work with Fumito Ueda.
Yeah.
But yeah, I played the game on PS3, and it still holds up pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
Though I'm definitely looking forward to the remake.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, for as good as that looks, then they're going to be able to make it look fucking amazing on a PS4 with sort of remade assets and all that. But yeah, that's pretty cool. And that's been about it. How about you?
All right, well, it's my turn. All right, so yeah, Final Fantasy XIV. That's been my primary gaming for this week. I'm basically just waiting until Wolfenstein comes out.
You working on Stormblood?
I have not gotten to Stormblood yet.
Okay.
I'm still in Heaven's Ward. I just managed to pluck out Nidhogg's other eye. So
sweet.
Yeah, so I'm now in
the... How epic was that?
Yes, it was. I'm now in the midst of that whole thing. Unfortunately, I have once again hit one of those walls where I have to level up a bunch. Well, I mean, not level up a bunch, but get a shit ton of experience before I can continue the main story. So I've been going around doing some...
Like, what level do you need to be?
Let's see. I'm like at 56 now.
Okay, I should be solid.
Okay, so you're doing Heaven's Ward proper.
Yeah. And
was such an awesome story arc.
Yeah, the thing is, I'm at the thing now where I have to get my experience up to, I think it's 2.5 million.
Yep, dungeon grind.
Yep, dungeon grind, so...
Two or three runs and you should be good.
Yeah, fortunately, the Nidhogg's dungeon actually, if you do it correctly, you can get a good 300,000 experience per run, so... If you know what you're doing, so.
And if your tank isn't an asshole and tries to speed run.
Yeah, that's also true. Also, also finally got one of the places where I finally got all of the Aether Currents. So I actually finally got a walker.
Yeah?
That's an experience.
And I can actually fly. So, yes, that is quite enjoyable. Because I can basically, you know, I don't have to, I basically can just hover over the world and not worry about getting ganged up on by. Yep.
And just enjoy the view.
Oh, yeah, enjoy the view. Get to places I previously couldn't at first.
Which are numerous.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of places, in Dravania especially, mm-hmm. That is just a bunch of, like, high-up places that you can't get to unless you have either a walker or a black chocobo. So,
yeah, there's some merchants in Dravania that I want to go see, like, now.
Yeah. And let's see. So, yeah, the whole, basically, after the Nidhogg quest is done, you basically sort of realize the truth of the whole Dragon Song War.
Yep.
Specifically, who actually started it and why. And it also kind of brings in the founding of the four major noble houses. And basically, it just proves that the whole structure is rotten from top to bottom.
All of Asgardian society.
Yep. And basically, right now, I'm just at the point where, story-wise, we're just getting ready to burn it the fuck down. yeah, so that's Final Fantasy XIV. I'm guessing I'm on the over the hump as far as the plot goes, and I'm heading towards the end of it.
Yeah. Well, once you get to 60, you're at the end.
Yeah.
What an ending that is.
Yeah. Oh, and I also did a little bit of the Palace of the Dead, which
is. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, that's like an old school Final Fantasy dungeon crawl. And,
I like how they have the 16-bit sprites of your character.
Yeah, they do. It's fun. So other than that, books mostly. I went to the used bookstore, and I got a whole bunch of Philip Jose Farmer's River World books, which River World is like one of those really cool sort of concepts in sci-fi that really it would take an absolute lunatic to come up with. And fortunately, Jose Farmer was an absolute fucking lunatic. The basic premise of River World is that every person who's ever lived on Earth, after they die, they wake up on this planet that is basically a giant, like, million-mile-long river, but that is in between a valley with two cliffs on the side, and, like, every few miles or so, there are these things called grail stones, which will provide you with food and sustenance. And basically, on this world, you cannot die. I mean, you can die, but you don't die permanently. You just wake up on another part of the river.
You respawn.
Yeah, and basically, the plot is all these people trying to figure out how they got there, why they're there, and who put them there. And you run it. It has some various famous individuals from history showing up. You got Sir Richard Francis Burton. He's like the main character in the first book. In other books, it's Samuel Clemens, which, as you don't know, that's Mark Twain. And also, you run into people like Attila the Hun, Hermann Goering, Nero. All the sort of famous Alice Little, which, for those of you who don't know, that was the little girl that inspired Lewis Carroll to write Alice in Wonderland. She shows up. It's just, the whole stories are just fucking balls out insane. Because there is no, like, iron on this planet. So, like, everything, all their technology is basically, like, pre-Iron Age. But what happens is that in the second book, a meteor crashes into the planet, and it's rich with iron. So they start making things like like airplanes and a steamboat and all this just crazy shit. There's like a whole thing where Sam Clemens is traveling with Eric the Red on a Viking ship downriver. It's it's fucking loony. And then I've started sort of a little project I've wanted to do this holiday season. I'm going to be reading all of Carrie Fisher's books. Now, as everybody knows, Carrie Fisher, of course, was, you know, she played Princess Leia, and she played a bunch of other people, but that's the one she's most known for. But she was also a fairly prolific writer as well. Everybody knows she was a script doctor in Hollywood. She also helped write some movies as well. She was a screenwriter, and she also wrote some books. She wrote 4 novels. She wrote 3 memoirs. And, you know, I've heard so many good things about her, so I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to start reading Carrie Fisher's books. So right now I've got her first novel, which was Postcards from the Edge. And the thing about all her novels is that they're basically semi-autobiographical. So basically this is about a fictionalized version of when she had to she had gone into rehab for her drug and for her drug addiction and mental health issues, and now she's sort of having to live with her overbearing mother, which, for those who don't know, Carrie Fisher's mother was Debbie Reynolds, who was famously a little overbearing and narcissistic. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing. Yeah.
I'm interested in hearing how this goes for you.
Well, it's if those of you don't know, Carrie Fisher wrote this book wrote this memoir called I can't remember what it's called, but she did a one-woman show based on it. And if you've ever been on YouTube, you can find pieces of it. And there's mm-hmm. that whole segment where she talks about, you know, what it was like being Princess Leia and, you know, going to the conventions and like telling that famous story of, you know, why George Lucas wouldn't let her wear a bra when she was playing Leia.
Yeah.
That all comes up. So, yeah, that's pretty much what I've been up to this week. Have we got anything else we want to add before we move on?
No.
We don't?
Nope, all good.
All right, then. Well, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And this week, I'm going to do another food one. Because, well, I'm actually hungry. I actually haven't eaten supper, so I was like, fuck it. So, we've all, you know, when we grew, we've all sort of being kind of weeaboos, we all really like Japanese food. So, you know, sushi, you know, yakisoba, all that stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sushi's great, especially. But there are some foods that are really common in Japan that sadly have not become a big thing here in the U.S., and I wish they were. And because what I'm going to be talking about is just really fucking awesome. Now, you guys here, of course, who are, you know, with me on this cast know what this is, but I'm going to be doing this as a service for all the people out there who have never heard of this. So we're going to be talking about the great sort of dark horse of Japanese cooking, okonomiyaki. Oh, yes, okonomiyaki. So, okonomiyaki is a savory pancake. It's made from flour, grated nagemo yam, some dashi, eggs, and, of course, some shredded cabbage all mixed up into a batter. It's cooked on a griddle, usually by the customer at the restaurant themselves. Usually the kitchen, a lot of these places will just mix up the ingredients for you and then give you toppings. And toppings in these places usually include stuff like green onion, pork belly, octopus, squid, shrimp, vegetables, mochi, cheese. All kinds of just amazing, delicious goodies. And so you get the batter, you mix it all up, and then you put it, like, into pancake shape, and you just slap it on the griddle. And it sizzles up, and then, you know, you're given all your toppings. And one of the more famous toppings that you can get is fish flakes. And the neat thing about fish flakes is that because they're so thin, they react to the fumes from the heat and the steam. So as you, after the okonomiyaki has been cooked and you're putting it on your plate, the fish flakes start moving.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. They actually have a, they call it dancing okonomiyaki. It's literally a thing in Japan. You can also get, of course, like thin pork belly, which for us looks a lot like bacon, but it's it's not. It's just pork belly. And they'll usually have stuff like some for like seasonings. You'll have stuff like Kewpie mayo, you know, Japanese mayonnaise, seaweed flakes. They even have a special okonomiyaki sauce, which is like a thick, sweet version of Worcestershire. And, yeah, it's originated in, Osaka, which for Japanese food fanatics knows that's like the food city in Japan. they basically are responsible for all of the amazing goodies that you can get in Japan that is not sushi or rice related. So shit like, you know, teppanyaki, you know. Octopus balls. all kinds of delicious shit.
Oh, and, damn. You are bound and determined to make me broke this weekend, aren't you?
Yep.
There's a new place, not so new, it's called Umakamon, which is like right next to my favorite sushi joint in the suburbs. And I know they do okonomiyaki, and gonna have to go now.
Yeah.
Not right now. But maybe, but I think I drank too much, so I can't drive. So. But maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
Should we also talk about Nikuman?
Nikuman? Yeah, go ahead, real quick.
Meat buns?
Yeah, meat buns. Actually, aren't those more of a Chinese import?
Yeah.
Not that I would
have. Oh, okay. I think I know what you're talking about. I was thinking about, you know, steam buns, but yeah, the ones that come with stuff like they'll come stuff with like curry or
oh shit,
delicious
guys.
Pork and chicken. Then you'll have the sweet versions that'll have like melon or sweet bean paste.
Yep.
I don't like red bean paste. I haven't been able to get into that.
You shut your whore mouth.
Oh, come on. No, I can't do it.
No, I get you. It's I'll be honest, as an American, the idea of beans as something that is like sweet and sugary is kind of hard to wrap my mind around.
Beans are great, but it's just a little overwhelming. Especially I've gotten the dango before that has the red bean paste around it. And it's a little hard to eat.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, by the way, so okonomiyaki, hopefully coming soon to a city near you if it finally fucking catches on here. And for the love of God, don't try to call it Japanese pizza, because I've seen so many fucking people try to make that comparison, and it makes no goddamn sense whatsoever.
If anything, it'd be like what's that stuff? The Native Americans made quite a
fry
bit.
Fry bread?
Yeah. It's more like a fry bread, their yep. version of it.
Yeah, or like a savory crepe or something like that. Yeah. But, okonomiyaki, it's a thing, hopefully coming soon. And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been yet another episode of Brandon's Random Factoid. All right. Oh, by the way.
Now I'm hungry.
Yeah. Well, I told you before, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten supper, so I'm dragging you all the fuck down with me.
Really?
Oh, my God.
By the way, I mentioned sushi, and of course I fucking love sushi. We all love fucking sushi. Remember when sushi was something that was so exotic that it was only something rich people ate?
Right, in the 80s. I mean, like when I was a kid, yeah.
Yeah, like I remember watching like old reruns of Double Dare on Nickelodeon, and like one of the challenges they had was getting the flag at the end of like an obstacle course made of fake sushi rolls. And, like, they're having to explain what sushi is and how it, there's, like, a... And folks are like, ew, raw fish! And now you can go to a convenience store and get sushi whenever you want.
Hell yeah, man!
That's how times change, folks.
Yep. Yeah, you can make it at home now. I mean, it's easy enough to do.
Yeah, they sell kits. You can get them fairly cheaply, too.
They had canned crab on sale. You guys know what I'm making. I'm making rolls.
Yeah. All right, so it's now time for the show proper, and of course we've got to start off with our asshole of the week. It's Richard. It's Mr. Punching Bag himself, Richard Spencer, who decided to stink up the University of Florida this week.
I'm sure that went well.
Oh, it went as well as you would expect. So, first of all, just in case you're wondering, he could barely get through his speech because he basically got shouted down by just about everyone in the auditorium.
And complained about his free speech being silenced.
Yeah, fuck your free speech, pal. Shove it up your ugly ass.
They don't have to sit there and listen to him. Fuck him.
Yeah. You know, it's a University of Florida is a... It's a state university, you know, but, you know, he ain't one of the fucking contributors. He can go fuck himself. So, also, he basically came out, you fucking know who Richard Spencer is. You know what his fucking spiel is, you know? We don't have to hear him, hear his speech because we already fucking know what he believes. So why should we have to sit there and fucking listen to it? But anyway, so as you can probably guess, there was about the actual auditorium, there was maybe a dozen of Spencer people that were up at the front row and surrounded by like a good few hundred counter-protesters. And then, of course, outside, you had all those Nazi shits who always show up when one of these fuckers pop their heads up out of their sewers. And, of course, you had hundreds, if not, I think, like a thousand counter-protesters showed up. And we got to see yet another example of that good old-fashioned American tradition of putting your fist into a Nazi's face.
That was a good picture. That was a good picture.
This fucking toothless skinhead asshole with fucking mutton chops. I love that whole picture because did you see the dude behind him? It looks like the dude got punched so hard that he ended up punching a Nazi with another Nazi.
Now that's efficiency. That's productivity.
Yeah. And then there's that dude who's next to the puncher who has like his fucking O face on. Because apparently he punched this dude so hard that the counter-protester came on camera. it was amazing. Unlike some other times, pretty much... Because here's the difference. Unlike Richard Spencer, this dude was an actual... Just the absolute epitome of a neo-Nazi skinhead fuckwad. You know, he had the red suspenders, the white shirt with the swastikas on them. You know, he was missing teeth, and he's probably missing a couple more now.
Yeah, it's...
And,
sure that cost him some chiclets.
Yeah, and pretty much, unlike with the Spencer stuff, pretty much everybody on the internet is like, fuck this guy. Just no sympathy whatsoever.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I did see the president of the university was talking about how they wanted to hold this rally, this whole thing, at night, and he basically said, fuck off with that. Because it's on their property, they at least could dictate when they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they had it in the middle of the day, so that limited the amount of Nazi people that could come out.
Mm.
Because obviously it's light out, so they don't want to get.
Well, we should be able to see their fucking faces.
Yeah, we did. I guess they didn't want to see them.
Yeah, and see where they run, so we can go follow them.
Yeah,
seeing that it was find out where they were. The guy didn't get punched with something a little harder.
Yeah, unfortunately, there were no knuckle dusters to be had, but
There were three assholes that shot at the...
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention those three douchebags who tried to do a drive-by on the counter-protesters. Yeah, three of these Nazi fuckwads were in a car, and they tried to do a drive-by shooting on some of the counter-protesters. They were arrested, by the way. Their mugshots are out there. Oh, by the way, here's the funny thing. One of the guys that was arrested... Do you remember? Have you seen that video of that douchebag showing up at I think it was like a one what is it, like a 3%er or something rally, or one of those I forgot what they're called, and he's the dude with like all the Pepe poster boards and shit on the ground, and then he gets his ass kicked by one of the militia dudes. Yeah, he's one of the dudes that got arrested.
Good. Shocking.
Same dude. But yeah, nobody fortunately was hurt.
Yeah.
Because apparently their aiming was piss poor. So piss poor that they couldn't apparently shoot a crowd of people close by at in a fucking car that was going like what, 10 miles an hour.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, fuck you, Richard Spencer. Fuck all of you fuck boys that follow fucking him. And hooray to the counter protesters who showed that we don't fucking want your Nazi kind in here. So, yeah. And man, I cannot wait until Wolfenstein comes out.
I like looking at the comments of their Twitter posts of each new video they put out.
Yeah.
Because it is all Salt City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you mean the Wolfenstein ones?
Yeah.
There's some salt, but it's vastly outnumbered by people who are like, yeah, fuck Nazis.
So, yeah, but I like the people that are like, quit politicizing your game. It's like, I realize what this is about.
Same shit it's always been.
Yeah.
From like almost Windows 3.1.
Here's the thing. Those fucking right-wing snowflakes, the worst part, the funniest part is, they just don't know when to quit. Like, they are absolutely bound and determined to defend their position, even though they are vastly outnumbered and have vastly been put down.
And somehow forgets what hill they're dying on that was mostly extinguished about 70 years ago.
Yeah. With machine gun fire and a couple of atomic bombs. So
I saw that there was some dipshits up at Kent State.
Mm-hmm.
If you saw the pictures of somebody protesting safe spaces by wearing diapers...
Yeah, he was from Turning Point, wasn't he? I think it was one of the dudes from Turning Point USA.
Which I like people's turn that into TP USA.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, great, there's like a lot of people like, oh, don't kink shame them. They just like being in diapers.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. They were trying to make some kind of protest, but it ended up looking like some fetish thing. Like,
yeah, like these... grown men in diapers.
Yeah, it's called diaper play.
Yeah.
It is a thing, but...
It is a thing, and they walked right into it.
Yeah.
It's like, man,
Google.
You really got those liberals by wearing your diapers out in public for the internet to see.
All right, well... But fortunately, to wash our taste out of that, Matt, well, except for the sweetness of sweet, sweet Nazi punching, we do have some heroes of the week. First of all, Chef Jose Andre, who got some of his friends together, and they're currently cooking food for the still suffering people in Puerto Rico.
I think this story says, as of today, they've made nearly 1.5 million meals.
Yep.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Keep in mind, like, I think it's like a good 80% of that island is still without power right now.
It was higher than that when I read it a little earlier.
It might be 91.
Yeah, yeah.
I can vouch for that because I'm a I'm a utility account manager for my day job, and I haven't been able to communicate with Puerto Rican utility services because of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can vouch. No, go ahead.
No, I can vouch for that because for those who don't know, I also work sort of part-time. I work as a dispatcher for the Georgia Forestry Commission. And one of the things we do is that the main thing we do is we help coordinate, like, people dealing with fires and stuff. And one of the things we have to do is we have to talk to the folks out of state in the rest of the territories nearby Georgia. And so that includes basically a good chunk of the east of the southeast. And, yeah, we have not been able to talk with Puerto Rico for weeks now. So, yeah, it's fucking...
Yeah, 4 weeks. I saw there's like 30% still don't have access to clean water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
basically
Trump
it's
gave himself...
turning into a humanitarian crisis while Trump says, FEMA's not going to be able to be there forever. It's like,
and he gave himself a 10 out of 10 for dealing with the crisis.
Well, he's the most humble man in America.
I'd love to give that orange fucking troglodyte 5 out of 5 across his fucking orange face.
Yep. I'm pretty sure all of Puerto Rico would be right there with you.
That dude better not try to step foot in Puerto Rico again, because I swear to God, if he does, that motherfucker is getting lynched.
Yeah.
Like, that is straight up. That is... The people at Puerto Rico are fucking pissed off, and if the people down there get wind that he shows up, you know, if that motherfucker better have his security detail.
Yeah, that would be a funny way for it to end, though.
Yeah, it would. And this isn't me making any threats. This is me making a prediction here. Because you think you're fucking hated in the states proper, just try setting foot in one of the fucking territories. They will rip your orange ass to shreds.
Yep.
But anyway, so didn't want to take that away from what Chef Jose is doing. He's doing amazing work down there, and I hope he continues to do it as long as he's needed.
Mm-hmm.
But we got other Heroes of the Week, which is some teams from the Major League Baseball. So an A's fan lost pretty much all of his baseball memorabilia in the California wildfires that are currently ongoing. Yeah, that fucking... Look, for the record, wildfires are pretty much an annual occurrence in California. It's a pretty dry state. You know, there's a lot of forest area, and, you know, it's basically a good chunk of the state is basically desert. So yeah. Very
it's a fire climate.
It's basically pretty much made for wildfires. And like I said, they happen every year.
Yeah, but
this one has been particularly bad.
Yeah, like they actually combined and got out of hand for the firefighters to be able to control.
Yeah. By the way, some of those firefighters are prison labor. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
They're prison labor, and they're pretty much unpaid.
Jeez.
Wow.
Slavery still exists in America, folks.
It does. It does.
It's just, we moved it to the penal system. But anyway, so the dude lost pretty much all of his baseball memorabilia he collected over the years. And so Major League Baseball heard about this, and so some of the teams are stepping up to help him replace it.
Yeah, pretty much every team is sending stuff. I think the A's set up an address for anybody to send things to them, and they'll get it to the kid. There's tons of different memorabilia, shirts. Seems like he's getting jerseys from most of the teams. Also backpacks, so he's going to be stuffing backpacks for life.
Yeah.
There's pictures in this article of a lot of the stuff that he's getting. Lots of hats, bobbleheads, baseball cards, signed baseballs, all that sort of stuff. And even some of the minor league teams are jumping on board, as well as teams around that's the Bay Area. I know, like, I think the San Jose Sharks sent some stuff. Some of the soccer teams that are around there, and some of the other pro teams also sending stuff. So it's a pretty cool thing for him to get not only cool stuff to replace the things he lost, but also seems like tons more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I wonder if he's going to end up running out of space.
Yeah.
Because you've got 30 baseball teams plus any minor league teams and all these others that are sending things.
Mm. Yeah. But, good job, MLB. Good job stepping up there. All right, so those were our heroes of the week, and now we're setting on the proper show proper. And first of all, sadly, we had another celebrity death this time. It was R.I.P. Gord Downie, who was frontman for the Tragically Hip. Now, if for people here who are Americans, because the Tragically Hip were briefly popular in the U.S. in the late 80s, but they were a sort of a big mainstay in Canada and a lot of other places. Yeah. They were part of the sort of late 80s alt-rock explosion that happened before Nirvana and R.E.M. mm-hmm. took over. Yeah. Well, R.E.M. was part of that. But,
well, yeah.
But also bands like, you know, obviously Midnight Oil, the Hoodoo Gurus, 10,000 Maniacs, all those bands that showed up in the late 80s that kind of broke the mold for what you consider pop music in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, not vaporwave material is what I'm saying. Really good stuff. And sadly, he passed away. I think he was 56.
53, I think.
53, okay. Yeah. And what was it he passed away from?
Cancer.
Cancer. Yeah.
Yeah, we've kind of known this was coming for a while.
Yeah. But yeah, so... the last big thing I remember Tragically Hip doing here in U.S. was Woodstock 98.
Hmm.
Or was it 99? I can't remember. Was it Woodstock 99, yeah. They were... one of the Canadian bands that came down and played that. And their show was pretty awesome.
They were really good live.
Mm-hmm. They were an amazing live band. They made this, they played SNL one time, and I swear Gord Downie looked like he was high off his rocker, but
he probably was. That was a thing back then.
But yeah, the Tragically Hip was a great band, and sadly, they no longer have their front man. So that is sad.
Yeah. R.I.P. Gord. We will miss you fully and completely.
Yeah. All right. So now on to the big stuff. First and foremost, Larry Flint. Yep, unlike Hugh Hefner, he is still alive and kicking. And
I almost gave him Hero of the Week for this before. yeah.
Yeah, so Larry Flint has been a big part in trying to muckrake for asshole politicians to bring them down. And he has been...
It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. This is basically the dude that was sued by Jerry Falwell back in the 80s. And that case actually went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and it basically made public figures safe for parody. Now he is offering up $10 million. Yes, $10 million for information leading to the impeachment of current President Donald J. Trump.
Has that ever been a thing before?
I'm pretty sure he did it during the Bush years.
Yeah, because I don't...
Yeah, he puts prices on heads periodically.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just checking.
But yeah, Yeah, this is he's been politically active for several years now, and he's pretty on the side of the left. And he's gone after, on top of Trump, he's gone after he's gone after Jesse Helms. I talked about Falwell. He also went after, a lot of the old televangelists, Jim and Tammy Faye, just a bunch of those dudes.
And again, it's been a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, because he's always managed to just fucking tear them a new one just about every time. He has, and if the dude really has no fucks to give. Keep in mind, this dude is paralyzed from the waist down, and he survived an assassination attempt. So, he does not give a shit anymore. I hope somebody finds... Well, I say I hope somebody finds one. He is going to find somebody.
Oh, yeah.
There's enough
dirt.
He's going
to be paying out several tens of millions of dollars by the time this is over, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. $10 million, that's a lot of money. I don't think Trump's loyalty will survive that.
Yeah, and Flint can pay out the ass because Flint Publications are a massive massive enterprise. Everybody remembers Flint as for Hustler, but he owns a shit ton of other shit. And if he could really wanted to, he could fucking bury Donald Trump.
Apparently he does.
I'm hoping somebody comes forward with the piss tape. That's that's what I'm waiting for. Because it's pretty much believed that it exists, and apparently it's part of that famous Russian dossier. And if somebody can get their hands on it and give it to Flint, not only will you see it all over the fucking internet, you will probably see Donald Trump resign that day. I hope. Because the man apparently has no goddamn shame, but.
Well,
stay tuned.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I mean, everything in his home is gold. Who was going to speculate that the showers weren't?
Oh my god.
I make the best human toilet. I'm the greatest human toilet. Hookers from Russia all up to piss on me. It was great. Believe it.
Okay.
Naruto reference. So moving on. A school district in Mississippi has decided to pull Harper Lee's classic Pulitzer Prize winning novel, To Kill a Mockingbird, from their reading list.
Miss-a-fucking-sippy.
Yeah.
I think that pretty much says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it made people uncomfortable.
Which is only the point of the fucking book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Said some of the book's language made it uncomfortable.
What language is that? English?
If I'm being generous, it's probably the N-word.
Yeah.
The reference to nigger that they use. Mm-hmm. But anybody who has read the book, including myself, can tell you one of the big parts of that book is explaining why that particular term is so low class and tasteless to make.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
wonder it made people uncomfortable.
Yeah. The book, anybody who has read that book can tell you, it is one of those books that takes on racial issues in the 1930s South head on without any kind of, any
anesthetic.
It doesn't dull the pain. It fucking hits you with it head on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's extremely blunt.
Mm-hmm.
Why be otherwise?
Well, I mean, Harper Lee lived through that shit.
Yeah,
so,
she did.
I mean, and the shit like this is pretty much the reason why she stopped writing altogether after that. she just couldn't stand all the fucking attention.
Mm-hmm.
And thing is, To Kill a Mockingbird, not just in this district, but it's one of, like, the top 10 banned books in America. It gets shit all the time. For numerous reasons, from both sides of the political world. You know, it's up there with Fahrenheit 451 and, you know, Slaughterhouse 5, Harry Potter series.
Well, all three of those books were required in my English class, so...
Yeah.
The fucking, like, the Color Purple stuff
really?
Like that. Yeah. You know, Huckleberry Finn. Huckleberry Finn is a notorious example.
Yeah.
For fairly obvious reasons.
Huckleberry Finn also, To Kill a Mockingbird required reading in Kentucky.
Yeah. It's... So basically what you'll find out... Okay, so I have this book I got from Barnes & Noble years ago, which is called the 101 Banned Books. And it's basically a list of both fiction and nonfiction of various books that have been banned in schools and public libraries in the United States for various reasons. And, of course, it includes on the nonfiction list, you'll get books like... obviously, you know, well, the obvious ones like Mein Kampf or the Communist Manifesto or the Anarchist Cookbook or the Pentagon Papers, stuff like that. And as for fiction, you'll get stuff – you'll get, of course, the ones you know about, but also like Lady Chatterley's Lover, The Scarlet Letter, the Captain Underpants books, you know, stuff like that.
That's funny.
But, yeah.
well, so, you know, yeah. Dav Pickley, the guy who does, I don't know if he says it Dav or Dave, the guy who does the Captain Underpants, he really has a big anarchy streak in him.
Oh, yeah, he does.
It's great.
Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, this District Mississippi banning To Kill a Mockingbird, they are assholes for doing it. This is only going to make the kids want to read it more. And whatever you do, do not go and try to read Go Tell a Watchman. That thing is a piece of shit, and Harper Lee barely had anything to do with it. So
it sits sadly on our bookshelf. I don't know why he still has it.
Yeah, you're not. If for the hype, it's just it's shit. Like,
well,
it's
he
basically
found it.
Yeah, go ahead.
He found it on a giveaway table, so
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Basically, To Go Tell a Watchman is basically it's sold as like a sequel to Kill a Mockingbird. It's actually a really bad first draft of To Kill a Mockingbird. Like, the characters that are linked together don't even make any sense.
Damn.
You know, like, all of a sudden, the big attorney who helped defend the innocent black man in the rape trial is suddenly a racist asshole in a white citizens' council. It doesn't make any goddamn sense.
No.
But, all right. In other Mississippi news, more positive Mississippi news.
Oh, God.
School in Mississippi has renamed its school.
District?
Yes, its district, because it was formerly known as the Jefferson Davis. And now it's the Obama.
Oh, now that is unexpected.
Yeah, so
yeah, they were named the Davis International Baccalaureate Elementary School.
Mm-hmm. It was named after Jefferson Davis.
Yep. Mm. And yeah, 98% African American enrollment. So yeah, not really much reason to keep the Jefferson Davis name.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the PTA led this. His students had overwhelming support for Obama.
Mm-hmm.
They very much got the parents and students and the people running the school involved in this, which is good. Get the people involved because they're going to have to, you know, work and live and go to school there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because this story could have gone a completely different way. The school district could have been renamed the Trump District, and then the following story would have been students riot
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas it's going to happen for the next school year, so 2018-2019. And I think the PTA likes is they says here they will do some very aggressive fundraising campaigns to pay for new signs and all that, which PTAs like to do fundraising campaigns.
Yeah, especially aggressive ones.
Yeah. Buy these goddamn cookies because we got to change all the stationery.
You have to have some gift wrap. Come get gift wrap now. Oh, my God.
All right. So, moving on. As we said at the top of the show, the Weinstein scandal is still expanding and is pretty much set to absorb all of Hollywood. Because
it will consume all.
The Weinstein's production company was like the one of the big top players, and Kevin Smith has announced that all proceeds of his Weinstein produced films will be going to Women in Film, which is a isn't that like a
charity advocating for progress in gender parity in the industry?
Yeah. So good on Kevin there.
Yeah, his he was talking on his podcast Hollywood Babylon. Said, my entire career is tied up with the man. It's been a weird fucking week. I just wanted to make some fucking movies. That's it.
Yeah.
That's why I came. That's why I made Clerks. And no fucking movie is worth all this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my entire career, fuck it, take it. It's wrapped up in something really fucking horrible.
Yep.
I'm not looking for sympathy. I know it's not my fault, but I didn't fucking help. Because I sat out there talking about this man like he was a hero, like he was my friend. Like, he was my father and shit like that, and he changed my fucking life. And I showed other people, like, you can dream and you can make stuff, and this man will put it out. I was singing praise of somebody that I didn't fucking know. I didn't know that the man that they keep talking about in the press clearly exists, but that man never showed himself to me. It all hurts, and it didn't happen to me, but it all hurts. And he said that if the Weinstein Company goes out of business, he will still donate $2,000 a month for the rest of his life to that charity.
Yeah.
So he's committed to sort of paying it forward.
Yeah.
Sort of renouncing all the residuals he gets from the first 14 years of his career.
Yep. So Clerks, Chasing Amy.
Mallrats.
Mallrats.
Dogma.
Yeah.
Jane,
Sam,
Bob.
Yeah.
Ah, damn.
Jersey Girl. Technically, yeah. Zach and Miri make a porno. Clerks 2.
Basically everything.
Pretty much that he didn't make with his current company.
Yeah, so pretty much everything pre-Red State, I think. So, yeah. Fucking hell, man. Remember, Kevin is an outsider who became, like, a big player in Hollywood solely on the reputation of that first movie.
Yeah. You know,
that's what most of his early movies are about. Like, just nerds hanging out and doing shit.
But, yeah, so good on Smith. All right.
And
so,
doing what people like, what's his face? One of Harvey Weinstein's best friends who just today or yesterday said he had actually knew about this stuff, didn't do anything. What's his name?
Tarantino?
Yeah. It's like he's doesn't seem to still be doing anything. Just saying he's pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people getting black eyes over this.
Yeah. Well, pretty much, like I said, pretty much all of Hollywood is going to get shit for this.
It will consume all.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that this will cause some much needed drastic changes in the Hollywood structure. Because that old producer system has gone rotten and it needs to change.
Yeah, they kicked Harvey Weinstein out of the Academy, though. John Oliver pointed out, Bill Cosby's still there?
Yeah.
Mel Gibson's still there? Roman Polanski's still there? It's like, good job. You got rid of the one man that took a shit on women for 30 years.
Yeah.
Now you're clean.
And then, of course, freaking Woody Allen had to come out and call it a witch hunt. Yeah, just...
Fuck him.
That's not much of a shock, considering we know the shit that went down in the 90s with his stepdaughter, Sun Yi.
Yeah. Anything he says is just completely and utterly disregarded in my mind because of that. I mean, fuck that.
And of course, there's somebody else you haven't heard from in Smart Enough, and that's Roman Polanski.
Mm.
He has kept quiet, as he should.
He's still out of the country?
Yep, he's still in Europe.
He better fucking stay there for a while, huh?
Yeah, because if he shits foot in the U.S., they won't hang his ass.
You should get some serious repercussions for
raping a 13-year-old girl.
Yep.
So,
but that's still cool with the Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, that's okay. Just don't show us the pictures.
But here's a good part of this. So I mentioned Carrie Fisher earlier on in the desk, and like I said, she was an amazing person with many talents. She also had an extremely dark, insane wit. And so she had a buddy, an actress named Heather Ross, one of her friends... I guess Heather Ross was sexually assaulted by a producer. They don't actually name who the producer is, but apparently her friend was sexually assaulted by this guy. She knew where this dude's office was, so Carrie Fisher went to Jerry's Deli, which is in L.A., and she went and got a cow tongue, and she put it in a package from Tiffany's, wrapped it up with a white bow, and had it delivered to this dude's desk in his office with a note that said, the note basically said, "If you touch my friend again, I will be sending you something much more personal to you and in a much smaller box."
that's some mobster shit right there.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, well done, Leia.
And don't forget, she has her last role as Leia in The Last Jedi. And I am definitely going to see that.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
I have to, because there's too much fucking hype around that movie for me not to.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so... next up, we got something from Vice. Vice is starting a one-year project to crowdsource ER bills, that's emergency room bills, to find out why exactly they're so high.
And this is particularly tied to the, what is it called? I think it's facility fee that they tack on. That seems to just be randomly decided. Yep. It tends to be like the bulk of the fee, even for minor things.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're essentially got a site set up. I think it's erbills.box.com, V-O-X. And they're asking for people to send in their ER bills so they can try and figure out if there's any sort of pattern here to it. Because they think it's kind of bullshit pricing. It's just
Didn't John Oliver do like a thing on these phantom hospital costs that they'll like?
I don't think so. Well, this was in the first year. I haven't seen much of the first year stuff, but yeah, this would be interesting to see if there's any sort of pattern, because it seems like that is a fee that the hospitals can decide on their own, not necessarily have to.
Oh, fuck. No. It wasn't John Oliver. It was Adam. Adam Ruins Anything. He did a recent episode on hospitals.
Okay.
So
this season?
Yeah, I think it's this season.
Okay. Yeah, I'm about 4 episodes behind.
But yeah, so Yeah, the thing is, privately owned hospitals, they have a tendency to try and nickel and dime every patient they get. And they'll come up with the most arbitrary charges to put on a bill and try and make it so obscure that it's almost impossible to challenge them. I hope I live to see the day when we don't have to worry about that shit anymore.
You will, I think. Nice.
And we finally get that nice universal health care that the rest of the world already has.
Yeah.
Was that the episode where they talked about confronting dying?
No. That's okay. The one involving... Yeah, you're talking about the one with, like, the funeral arrangement and stuff. No, it's another one.
Yeah, that was poignant. That really was.
It was also infuriating. It made me hate funeral homes even more.
I know. But, it was bad timing for me watching it, though.
Yeah. All right, now to something that's great. So, for a few times on this cast, we've told you that there was going to be a giant robot fight. That a team from America and a team from, I think it was Japan, were coming together. They were going to build their own giant robots, and then they were going to kick each other's ass. It happened this week, and it was awesome.
Yeah,
it was also probably a little scripted, but it was still awesome.
Well, to be fair, when you're doing something like this and you have no idea what the fuck's going to happen, doing your first ever outing live is probably not a great idea.
Yeah.
So, there were basically three fights, well, three rounds, and that happened over the span of 3 days.
Yep.
So, yeah. It was the American Megabot team had two robots, because America. The Japanese team had one. First round was very short. Basically ended up with the American robot ending up flat in its ass. Because that robot was geared more towards ranged attacks.
Yeah.
And so the Kuritas robot just went in close. Yeah, you're not gonna.
It's that.
Yeah, so
that was the Japanese team, right?
Kuritas is the Japanese team.
Why am I not surprised that the Japanese team ended up winning this?
It ended up drawing, to be honest.
Yeah. It did.
Yeah, the first match was the robot's called Iron Glory. That was the one that was set up for ranged.
Mm-hmm.
That one lost. The second fight, which went two rounds, was the other robot called Eagle Prime. That was geared for melee, and that one won with a chainsaw arm. So,
yes,
fuck yes.
Chainsaw arm.
I really did dig the drone being shot from the Japanese robot as a distraction tactic, so that was kind of fun. This was a... There was a lot to this, and naturally in a, something like this where you have commentators, of course you have to destroy the broadcast position, so that happened too. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did I mention Mike Goldberg was commenting?
Nice. No, you did not, but that makes it awesome.
Yeah, he's, he does UFC. So it really did feel kind of like a UFC. And honestly, UFC might want to look at buying this property because I think there's future here. And everybody who's watched it seems to think, they can do stuff with this. This
would totally be a sport.
Yep. And by the way, these robots are not remote controlled. They're actually piloted.
Yeah, they're really? They are honest to God mech suits.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So when that first robot got knocked on its ass, that was a little bit of a shakeup for the two guys that were in it. It's like all of a sudden, I'm falling now. Ow. Yeah.
So we're still not up to Gundam levels yet, but we're getting there.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good first step. We may have MechWarrior sooner or later, but for now, we can have something pretty fun.
Yeah, we got to do MechWarrior before we get to Gundam.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, we passed the BattleBots hurdle. Now we've got actual mech suits. So.
We got, let's see, there's a couple of teams in China that are looking to jump in. There's, I think, a team in Italy, a team in Germany. So, like, yeah, this seems pretty cool.
It's a thing. Fuck. It's going to turn into G Gundam, isn't it?
Well, whatever it turns into, if it's regular robots beating the crap out of each other, I'm in. So, yeah. If you haven't seen it yet, check the link. You can watch the video there. It's great.
Yeah, just watch it. It's just watch it. Just no more. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say anything more.
Yeah.
All right, now we got some science news. Astronomers, of course, were doing their astronomying thing, and they detected two neutron stars that collided.
Oh, that was awesome.
And here's the thing. That is a source of gold and platinum.
Really?
Yeah, we talked a bit about the abilities for these few different places to detect gravitational waves.
Mm-hmm.
So this was another one of those, but instead of the big problem with black holes sort of colliding is that you can't see it. But a neutron star is colliding, you can't, because it's obviously two stars.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a GIF here of what they actually saw over the course of these days that they were looking at it. And you see this just big giant ball of lights with a bunch of dust around it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were able to actually, once they detected the gravitational waves, because there are a few different of these, they're able to sort of triangulate the signal and figure out sort of where it's supposed to be at. And they started looking, they found it, and were just able to observe this thing. And were surprised that it was pretty much exactly what the theories they have come up with for how this sort of thing would work out would look. The only difference I think they saw is that it was kind of blue for a bit and then turned red before they collided and sort of exploded, which sent out dust that was it started at about the size of New York City and then turned into the size of a solar system. Jeez. Sort of spread out. Then they sort of figured out about how much gold and platinum were here. Let me see if I can find out. Okay, so this neutron star collision produced around 200 Earth masses of pure gold. So essentially, wow. If you turn the Earth into pure gold, it would be about 200 Earths worth of that. As for platinum, it was about 500 Earth masses.
And breaking news here, Donald Trump just announced that we're once again starting up the space race.
No, I promise it's about 130 million light
years. I think those masses
away.
Need some freedom.
Yeah, well, we're not getting there. They're a little too far.
Yeah. That, like, that's going to stop him from driving.
Yeah, it's some pretty cool stuff. That they have been able to observe for the first time ever. And it's pretty cool how much this technology they have to detect these gravitational waves is able to allow them to see some really cool stuff that they've never been able to see before.
Yeah.
And I think they say here at the end about where they would like to see what sort of stuff they would like to see in the futures. If we were lucky, we would see a supernova from somewhere in our galaxy. Though he notes that these star explosions go off about every 50 years or so. Perhaps the next cataclysm on deck will be something like a black hole colliding with a neutron star.
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, sort of think like the gold and platinum we have here, that's sort of how it came to be, is that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And freaking awesome, man.
Yeah.
Really?
All right. Now for something that is just downright apocalyptic sounding. In Antarctica, there was a colony of penguins. There's a penguin colony. And nearly all of the chicks, that's the baby penguins, on one Antarctic penguin colony died of starvation. And that is something to be worried about.
That's a big something to be worried about. Talking about fucking up the food chain.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this involves, let me see, an adult colony of Antarctic penguins. There are about 18,000 pairs during this breeding session, and only two survived.
God damn it.
Mainly because sea ice, where was it at? There was unusually large amounts of sea ice forced the penguin parents to travel further for their food. By the time they weren't returned, only two out of thousands of chicks had survived. Not only did the chick starve, but the partner who stayed behind also had to endure a long fast.
Shit. And you know that's going to fuck them up. They're not going to be able to breed hardly well at all next year. If, you know, if they can, they're going to be producing subpar offspring.
Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, okay.
First great coon and now this. God damn it. Just not been a good couple weeks for penguins at all.
Yeah. Well, or for the whole health of the seas, I mean, you talking about liking sushi, you're not going to be having that shit.
Yeah. Climate change is real, people. And it's, yeah. We're at a point now where if your local politician is denying it,
vote them out now.
Actually, I was thinking of pushing them off a cliff, but that works too.
You could put them on a little bit of sea ice and see how quickly it melts.
Yeah. Because,
depending on which hemisphere you're in.
Yeah. All right. But, in ways that we're actually trying to combat this, the first floating wind farm has begun operations in Scotland.
Now, are we talking about floating on water, or are we talking about, like, airship shit?
This is floating in the water.
Okay. Yeah. I was assuming we were there, because if you guys were going to tell me the other, like, I was going to start whooping it up, because that's awesome.
Yeah, so this has five turbines floating about 16 miles off the coast of Peterhead, Scotland.
Peterhead, sorry.
The project has a capacity of 30 megawatts and cost about £200 million or $263 million to construct. And yeah, so taking them offshore compared to having these wind turbines on land typically increases wind speeds and reduces complaints from neighbors, but it's also limited to relatively shallow seas.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this is potentially going to open up new places for these sorts of things to be placed, like around Japan, the U.S. West Coast, and the Mediterranean.
Yep.
That'll have a good impact on some economies that, you know, may be suffering from overfishing or climate-related, you know, loss of fishing jobs, because, I mean, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
And it can be used for water depths up to 800 meters.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, eventually, we're going to get to the point where we are going to have the floating wind turbines from, you know, Big Hero 6. And I can't wait till we get there and we can finally get off petrol for good.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm really starting to think that may happen in our lifetimes.
Yeah, the push towards renewables is, gaining momentum.
Yeah,
for example, I don't think alleviating the need for petrol or for oil as fuel is going to alleviate the overall thirst for oil.
Well, no, because most of our products are made using that. So
yeah, that is true. Much medical technology and supplies, Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so... All right, that is awesome. We're going to finally get to renewable energy. We know that the PRC has pretty much dedicated itself to being completely... to go completely renewable energy by 2040. So...
Yeah.
That's one big market that'll just go like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So moving on. The WPA2 Wi-Fi standard. It's been revealed that it has this huge flaw that is affecting nearly all devices.
What?
Yeah, this has been making the rounds this week.
Yeah, update your router firmware.
Do I need to have another goddamn drink?
Well, you don't need to just update your router firmware. Else has to be done on the client devices.
Yeah.
So actually, you don't even have to update the router firmware, to be perfectly honest.
Oh.
This is a client-side attack, regardless of whether the router is affected or not. I mean, there are... the firmware fixes for the routers are coming along. You can be able to download these soon and apply them to your router. But this was built responsibly, so a lot of the stuff like Windows, macOS, iOS, Android, stuff like that, they're already fixed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Deep breaths, folks. It's not the apocalypse.
Okay. So unless you're running some weird-ass distro of Linux, no fucking
problem.
Or
you're running an older device.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is, this is basically a man-in-the-middle attack. You have to set up an access point between yourself and the person you want to attack. So, yeah, it's not the end of the world. It's difficult to do. Somebody who's really determined could do it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't worry too much about it.
It seems like this would be... very much a thing that would affect hospitals, banks, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, ATMs, shit like that.
Where they don't necessarily update that stuff that often.
Yeah. Those things probably shouldn't be.
As we saw with the attack that happened earlier this year.
Yeah, Equifax. Well, that was Apache Struts, but still.
Well, there was also the one that went all over Europe.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah.
There was one that attacked I think it was Navy ships over in Europe, too. And that was fun.
Ooh, I missed that one.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, yeah.
And,
all right. Yeah,
they were running Windows for warships, and I'm not making that shit up.
That's a thing.
That is a thing.
Yeah. It is a thing now.
Yeah, you can make a really good indie game around that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Fuck it. Steam probably already greenlit it.
That is fantastic.
All right. So, moving on from Texas. A man was arrested for stealing $1.2 million worth of fajitas.
No, I understand this.
That's one hungry motherfucker.
Yes.
Fajitas, which isn't even Mexican. Fajitas is purely an American invention.
Who cares? They're delicious.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, so he did not steal all of these at once. This was a long con. It was 9 years. Basically, he worked at a... juvenile justice department.
Mm-hmm.
And would order the food for the cafeteria, and ordered about 800 pounds of fajitas. I don't know if it says how often. Probably not very often, though. But essentially, he would take that, take it home, and sell it to make money off of it.
Oh.
he had a roach coach.
And essentially, the way they found out is that he took a day off to go to a medical appointment. A driver from the food service that delivered this stuff called the kitchen to inform it that he had their delivery of fajitas. And the woman who answered the phone said, we do not serve fajitas. that was when the driver told her he had been delivering fajitas to the kitchen for the past 9 years. And then this is where this guy's plan just completely farted.
And somehow he still managed to keep this going for 9 goddamn years.
And it's because he takes a day off that it falls apart.
Day off. Gets his delivery.
Yeah, so yeah, the receiver of the call rushes off to the supervisor, conveys to her the discussion that had been had, and that breaks the case. So this guy's name is Escamilla. When Mr. Escamilla reports to work the next day, he's confronted with the discussion, admits he'd been stealing fajitas for 9 years.
God damn.
So he was obviously fired and arrested. They went and searched his house when they got a search warrant and found packets of fajitas in his refrigerator. They had initially valued the order at between $2,500 and $30,000, a state jail felony. They had not found out about the extent of this until they...
Who determines the street value of fajitas?
I think it was off of the order, the audit. Mm-hmm. They audited. And since they knew about the nine-year thing, they actually went back and got all the invoices, vouchers, purchase orders, and concluded that he had stolen $1,251,578 worth of fajitas.
Mm. And that this was some state facility, you said?
Yeah, it was a prison, wasn't it?
Cameron County Juvenile Justice Department.
It was a juvenile hall, yeah.
Yeah.
How the hell did they not have auditors in all the fucking time?
It's Texas.
There's a better question that we should be asking.
Eh?
Why the hell aren't they serving fajitas?
That's true.
Again, it's Texas.
I mean, it's not on the menu.
The answer to both of your questions is Texas.
What's Texas got against fajitas?
These kids are juvenile delinquents. They don't deserve fajitas.
Exactly. Remember, again, this is Texas. On the one hand, they didn't have an auditor there because Texas is really fucking stingy with their money.
God, it would have saved them money like 8 years.
And number two, they really hate the idea of people being in prison and being able to have one small joy in their lives. So
you mean like actually fucking surviving because we're humans and we take
it? Did you see? Well, look at the shit that went down in Arizona. Do you think Texas is any different?
No, actually, they're right fucking next door. Yeah, mine.
There you go.
Yeah,
if anything, Texas is what Arizona wants to be when it grows up.
And for any of our listeners who happens to be living in Texas, you know, we don't hate you, but you might want to start electing some better people.
Yeah.
They're working on it.
That state is probably going to be a blue state in the next 10 years, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Working on it.
Hello?
Yeah, so.
Maybe a blue state in the next election.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that you mention it.
Yeah,
if we
so
get that far. Yeah. But
Escamilla was arrested on Tuesday on a first degree theft felony. Now that they knew the full scale of what he was doing. Mm. And now
so he's going to jail.
Yeah. And now the Juvenile Justice Department is working close with the auditor's office to institute procedures to prevent this from happening in the future.
Going forward, I mean, that just seems like that shit.
And I guess also this is stealing from the state, because this is all public money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Exactly, yeah. So this dude is going to be going away for a good 10, 20 years.
Yeah, he's going to get his anus gauged.
Minimum.
Yeah, up and down. There's a good quote. Up and down the chain of authority, people were signing off on these things. It's upsetting because the auditor gets a detailed invoice where it states the breakdown of what's delivered. So they should have seen this.
Yeah, no shit.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So the auditor's just like, yeah, whatever.
I don't know, man. He might get to prison. They're going to be like, you know what? You had a really good fucking racket going on. Good for you. I mean, really.
I'm guessing from this dude,
they'll give him a job.
I'm guessing considering that this guy, you said his name's Escamilla. I'm guessing he's Mexican?
Mm-hmm. Latino? He's Latino. Gilberto Escamilla.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, one of the, like, Brown Berets or one of those Latin prison gangs end up hitting him up for a job. And he ends up, like, trafficking shit in and out of prison.
Yeah.
I mean, he must have some fucking awesome organizational skills. Seriously.
Either that or he's got balls the size of a goddamn bowling ball.
Either way, his side resume is something to be very envious of.
Maybe the government should hire him. The CIA could fucking use that kind of skills.
Yeah, they need somebody to bring some fajitas in.
Hire him to keep him away from the mob.
Yeah. All right. And now we got our entertainment news. Once again, because it is absorbing all of Hollywood, the Weinstein scandal. Weinstein's actual company is looking not only to dump their name, get a new name. They're getting an emergency investment, and they're hoping to sell all their assets.
Shit.
Yeah, the person that's put in this investment is Tom Barrack.
Mm-hmm.
A very close friend of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
It's Tom Barrack's Colony Capital. Mm-hmm. Who was part of a media consortium that bought Miramax from Disney in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely have some history with at least the Weinstein's brothers.
Yep.
Mm. So, yeah, that company's on fire.
It's a fire sale, folks. Everything must go.
Yep.
And so this keeps them afloat for the time being.
Yeah, because holy shit, you know nobody wants to do business with them right now.
Yeah, they've lost a lot of business. I assume, I think Amazon's working with them. I think Amazon and Netflix are essentially working to probably buy all the rights to those shows and keep them themselves.
I should probably restate that. All the people that can leave have left already, because there's probably contractual shit that still...
True.
As some Bob Weinstein is still there. Him. Yeah.
Mm. No. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, holy shit. Basically, an atom bomb went off in fucking Hollywood, so.
Yeah. Yes, it did. And now the fallout is spreading.
Yep.
So.
But now into the more positive, regular entertainment stuff. We now know what the title is for the 2018 Han Solo movie.
Oh.
It's called Solo.
Solo.
Oh, shit, how the fuck long did they spend making that one out?
Yep.
Not like Ron Howard did.
Is it going to be said in Jabba the Hutt's voice every single time?
No, I hope not.
Oh, come on!
That was about the only intelligible word Jabba the Hutt ever uttered. So.
Well, he was speaking another language.
A tease. Seriously. Yeah. That's what it is.
But, yeah, so that's the name, Solo.
What the hell, Chica Solo?
It's Solo, a Star Wars story.
Oh,
of course.
It's like Rogue One, a Star Wars story.
All right. So, yeah, we got some Netflix news. They're planning to release about 80 original movies next year.
Shit.
Yeah, from what they say, they're releasing about 50 this year.
Yep.
So still a sizable increase.
I watched a couple of them that have come out this year. They've been pretty good, actually.
Yeah, they've They also do a good variety of not only sort of genres, but also budgets. Mm-hmm. They do a bunch that are pretty small. And they talk about here Bright, that Will Smith movie that has orcs and shit in it. Mm-hmm. Sort of a modern day cop thriller. Is about $90 million. Martin Scorsese's gangster movie, The Irishman, with Robert De Niro in it, has about, it's over $100 million. Mm. So they're willing to pay out some money for these things.
Oh, yeah.
They're spending,
I mean, it's Scorsese, you know?
Yeah. And they're spending, it's been about $6 billion for the slate this year. It's going to go up between $7 and $8 billion for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it great, man? When Netflix was just this disc delivery service, did anybody think that it would become what it is today with, like, no. Stranger Things and shit? It's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a great time.
I remember when you could watch Netflix on the PS3 or Wii with a disc.
Yes, yes, that's yes. Right.
That was how they got around the exclusivity deal with Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't say anything about discs, motherfuckers.
Good lawyers.
And I mean, now they're posters.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, apparently they're also planning to do another 30 original anime projects as well.
Yeah. I like hearing that.
Yeah, so...
Have you seen, what is it, Neo Yokio?
It is a glorious train wreck.
Which features Jaden Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's,
is that the one that everybody on Facebook keeps saying is so awful you have to keep watching?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. I can dig that shit.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, Netflix's first original movie came from the Weinstein Company. Yeah. The Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon sequel.
Yep. Mm. All right. So,
you know what's great about Netflix, though, before we move on?
What's that?
They're a business that has constantly been moving into its next stage,
mm-hmm.
but never really telegraphing it.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they were a disc delivery service, they started up their streaming business as kind of a side thing, and then people were like, well, why would they do streaming? Everybody just wants discs. And streaming took off and became the big thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, I want discs.
Well,
I just shouldn't have to pay for the discs. Anymore. So you
it's like
you had to get both.
Yeah,
you know, it's almost like they're driving the industry really into the next, you know, the next level of technology.
Man, they're pissing off theaters.
Yeah,
because they're putting out their stuff in theaters the same day it's on Netflix, and they're not happy
because
theaters and the rest of the movie industry likes their long drawn out bleeding of money. Yeah, so you pay your $10-$15 at the theater, then a few months later you can go get the disc for $20, and then or you can pay $20 on, you know, iTunes or Amazon for the digital version. And then after that it goes to Netflix and Hulu and all that.
Hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. And don't forget Millar World that they just acquired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's their next step.
Yep.
I don't think people have really kind of figured this
out
yet.
What is that again, you said?
That is Mark Millar's entire creator-only comic book library. So Kick-Ass, Wanted, all that.
So they can have their own cinematic universe.
Yep.
That's more than
that, and because it's Netflix, they don't have to censor anything.
Yeah. But there's more to it than that. Then that's one of the things that people have missed. Millar World also does merchandising.
Yep. Oh.
And guess what major, well, popular properties that Netflix now has, like Stranger Things, and House of Cards. And
yeah, they've been doing lots of great stuff with Stranger Things.
Yep. Yeah. So yeah,
really?
Expect a big push into merchandising, maybe pop-up stores even at some point. You never know.
Anyways.
They're going to bring video rentals back.
Yeah, I think
full circle.
Has that.
Yep.
Who wants to fucking go to Redbox, man? You have to leave your house to do that shit.
Yeah.
Pedestrian. For one day.
Yeah.
Pedestrian.
I like getting stuff from Gamefly and letting it sit for months.
I like the way you think.
Anyway, so we also got a new trailer from Netflix for the Punisher series, which is going to be coming out November 17th.
How's that shit look? Yeah.
Oh my god.
They get the Punisher.
Amazing. Yeah.
Right. They get
it. Watch totally the first trailer that they released. It's all tied to, they do all the sound effects and such to Metallica. I forget which song it was.
One.
Yeah. And they just do all of the sound effects, just edited in so that the gunshots or all the drums, all that sort of stuff. It's really well done. This one still has some of the Metallica stuff in there.
Yeah.
But it gives you a bit more backstory to where this Frank Castle came from.
Yeah.
Basically putting it for you that, remember, Frank Castle is basically a serial killer.
Yeah. He's not a nice person. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, he is a serial killer that masquerades as a vigilante.
And somehow has the government afraid of him.
Yep. Well.
And finally, our last story for the night, our ultimate story of the night, we got trailers for the New Mutants. Which merges the X-Men franchise with the horror genre.
Okay.
That's a pretty interesting sort of spin on that franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely different.
Yeah, now let's see if Cable is going to show up.
That would be actually fun to see him.
Because that's actually where Cable made his first appearance, was in New Mutants.
Yeah.
And Deadpool,
drawn by Rob Liefeld.
And Deadpool, too? Yeah.
Yes, and Deadpool. They both showed up in the New Mutants.
That's going to be fun, too.
Yeah, Deadpool sort of was supposed to be a one-off.
Well, I mean, he's basically... I mean, Deadpool is basically a Deathstroke ripoff, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, that character ended up being far better outside of Liefeld's hands than it ever could have been.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
The thing that concerned me is for, like, characters like Deadpool, for instance, their licenses are tied up with Fox. So,
New Mutants is Fox. New Mutants is Fox. Problem solved.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's weird when you see Marvel properties that aren't by Disney. It throws you off a little bit.
It still has the Marvel logo on it.
Yeah. So.
But anyway. All right, so we have a show, folks.
Yes.
It was a good one. So, I would like to remind our listeners, if you would like to write into the show, have a question to ask us, have something you want us to read on the air, or just have a criticism or comment to make, you can write into us at letswinkenders@gmail.com. That's letswinkenders@gmail.com. We got it on the show notes to click on. Right now, that thing is just spam, and some pretty hilarious spam at that. on top of iTunes, you can also hear our little cast at Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, any place where completely unprovisional audio burpings are sold. So, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Analfo, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Elogi, and Teresa Sammons, I'd like to say good night, get some sleep out there, continue to punch those Nazis.